Welcome to the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church Bible Study Hour. Please turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. This is part 2 of our message on the believer's dependence on the Lord for sanctification. And we will read Romans 8, verses 1 through 4, but then I want to review what we went over last week to give us the context for this last portion of this scripture. Pastor Downing has noted, and you can see it in his outline on Romans, that Romans chapter 7, that argument of Paul's does not end at the end of Romans in verse 25, but it proceeds through Romans 8, 1 through 4. And so that is why we're going to be in that section to end our overview of this topic of the believer's dependence upon the Lord for sanctification. So let's read verses 1 through 4 of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we come before your throne of grace this morning to beseech you to be pleased to visit us this morning at this Bible study hour. Lord, we pray most of all that you would be pleased to open up your word to us by your Spirit. May the word of God have its way in our lives, that we might be sanctified as your children. And Lord, if we be outside of Christ, that you would be pleased to open up your truth to those in need of a Savior. May sinners see that they need the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And Lord, may we understand as believers that we need the Lord Jesus Christ as we seek to live godly in Christ Jesus and live a sanctified life. We pray, Lord, that in all things that you would be glorified on this day, the Lord's Day. And we ask and pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So last week, we looked at Romans chapter 7, and this is the section where the Apostle Paul is doing two things. He's explaining the relationship between us and the law, and how the Lord Jesus Christ has delivered us from that bondage to the law, and he opens up his heart to us in basically an unprecedented way, to show how his struggle with sin led him to ask the question, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he thanked God that it was through Christ Jesus our Lord. And his argument about the law was that he understood that the law was good, right? He admits, he goes, the law is holy, just, and right. But the problem was that sin that is in our flesh, in our members, would set up camp in the law and from there wreak all kinds of havoc in causing us to sin as sinners. So when the law said, thou shalt not covet, because of the sin in the life, all we would do then would covet. And sin was shown to be so evil that it takes something good, the law of God, and it turns it into death for us. Because those who are under law are under a law that is nothing but sin and death. And in fact, sin is energized by the law to cause us to sin. And salvation then is being freed from that law. And Romans 7, then, in that sense, is an explanation of Romans 6:14, where Paul concludes that because of our union with Christ, we are no longer living under a principle of law, but a principle of grace. And he's explaining that that means that under a principle of law, or under, we would say, an administration of law, the rule is do and live. But the issue was that because of the evilness of sin, that it's able to take that good law, that if we were to do it and find life, caused us instead to find sin and death. And then he opens up to us, starting in verse 15 of chapter 7. That which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. And remember, I tried to point out that we should not look down upon Paul for this and condemn him that he can't handle sanctification and that he's complaining that, oh, I want to do good, but I can't. And I don't want to do evil, and I find myself doing that all the time, because it just means that the Apostle Paul was more sensitive. He had a more of an acute awareness of the heinousness of sin, and how in his life he was not able to live without falling to that power. And it's not that he's a weak Christian. It's just that that is the way things are. While we're in the flesh, we are going to constantly battle sin. And that's why Paul said, I discover a law, as a matter of fact, that when I would do good, evil is always present with me. But he says, the fact of the matter is that as a Christian, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, and that law is at war against the law of my mind. And it brings me into captivity to that law of sin, which is in my members. And again, all Paul is saying that he is just very conscious of the fact that sin is there. Sin is always present, and you can't shake it. As John Owen said, at any time we think we've conquered a sin, all it really is that the sin has hidden in the corner of our heart, way in the darkness of the heart, way in the corner, and it's just waiting to pounce out and have a sin again with a sin that we thought we had conquered. So that's all Paul is acknowledging, is that in this life, we are going to always be battling with sin. And so, I don't want us to look down upon Paul. I want us to say, Lord, may I have that acute awareness of sin, that I would be motivated to live godly in Christ Jesus, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to be obedient to the Lord. And I gave some examples, but we won't go into that. So that is chapter 7. There is a law that says that if you do these things, you will live, but we can't do them because of sin. And so, God has provided salvation under a principle of grace. And that is where the Christian lives now. Now, there's the transition from chapter 7 to chapter 8 is it's not complicated, but in verse 25, after Paul says, oh, miserable man that I am, who shall deliver me? Who shall free me from the body of this death? He says, I thank God. It is God who will do it through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then that's the segue into Romans 8:1. But then Paul wants to conclude the argument of chapter 7, or at least the part that he's just gone through. And so, concerning his personal walk with the Lord and that you know, battling sin, he says, yes, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, but just to put a bow on the other piece, so then, in conclusion, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And that's he's just wrapping that up. And again, as Pastor Downey says, Paul and the Christian are not schizophrenic. It's not that we got this battle going on between good and evil in us. No. The evil or sin has we've been delivered from that. We've been freed from that. And we'll see that, I believe. So sin has no more dominion over us. That's in being in union with Christ, that's what we're freed from, the dominion of sin. Yet there's this remnant in us that we have to battle against. And all Paul is saying that it is a fierce battle. It is a continuous, daily, hourly, minute-by-minute battle of the law of his mind to serve the law of God versus the old way of the flesh that serves the law of sin and of death. But then he had already said, well, I thank God it is through Jesus Christ that I shall be delivered from this body. Then that takes us to Romans 8:1. There is, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So that's the connection. God will deliver us through Jesus Christ, and in Christ there is now no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, this issue of condemnation, there are two parts to it. There is when a judge condemns someone because they've been found guilty of some offense. In the case of spirituality, guilty of sin, there's a rendering of the verdict that says, you are guilty, you're condemned. And that's one aspect. But the second aspect is, there are ramifications of that verdict, and that is that the one who is condemned has to serve the punishment. So there's this ongoing activity of living under that verdict of condemnation. But for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. We have been justified of our sin. We are not condemned for it. And then secondly, and this gets back to Romans 7, we are not then subject to be enslaved by sin. So, having been set free by not being condemned by being in Christ Jesus, it means also that we're free from that power of sin. We don't need to be enslaved to it anymore. And that's why Paul is so thankful to God that it's through Jesus Christ that we have been freed from sin. There is now no condemnation. And he's saying, it's a very strong word, therefore now there is no condemnation. No, not any. There is none. No shadow of condemnation. No risk of condemnation ever. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken care of it. There is no condemnation, no none, to them who are in Christ Jesus. And he says, therefore now there is no condemnation. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ has secured that salvation. And so those who are in Christ Jesus now, under that condition, are not condemned. And we are free. And how do you know you're in Christ Jesus? Because you walk not under the dominion of the flesh, but under the dominion of the Spirit. Paul now is going to explain this in verses 2 through 4. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The one living under the dominion of the Spirit now has new life that comes from that Spirit. So it's called the Spirit of life because not only does the Spirit himself as God have life in and of himself, but by virtue of our union with Christ, we have that life operating in us. So those who walk under the dominion of the Spirit now have that operation of the Spirit of life working in them. The one living under the dominion of the Spirit has been set free from that law of sin and of death. The one who lives apart from the Spirit of God is subject to the dominion of sin and death. But listen, there are two realities to this. It's not that sin and death are really one thing, but there's two aspects. There is that living under the dominion of sin and how it pollutes the sinner, and it, of course, condemns them. But also, it is a dominion of death. The result of being of sin, in sin, is going to be spiritual death. We could render this the law of the sin and the law of the death. So it's a law that where sin is dominating in the person's life, and what is going to be the result? It's going to be spiritual death. It's going to be the death. That death that is final when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and the sinner will be condemned to death and damnation forever. So that is what he's saying. He's saying that the one living under the dominion of the Spirit is freed from that law of sin, that law of death. So we have been set free from that by being in Christ Jesus. That is why Paul is so I don't want to use the word excited, but he's very upbeat about this. Oh, miserable man that I am, who shall deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ's deliverance is final, it is complete, so that there's no condemnation, not any. We have been freed from that law that would bring sin and death. Now he's going to repeat that the law was and is not able to deliver us from sin. Why? Because it was weak through the flesh. Remember, back in chapter 7, he said, when we were in the flesh, the passions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. And sin, taking up camp, base camp, by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, or all manner of lust. So, the law was there, but it was not able to deliver us from sin. It was weak through the flesh. Sin, using the law in our flesh, brought nothing but sin and condemnation. The law was not able to deliver us from sin. That's verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. And what he's talking about there is that the law, even though it could bring life if we could keep it, instead brought death. It was powerless to bring life to us. What the law could not do, what could it not do? With regard to bringing life to the sinner, it was impotent. It was not able to do it. Because sin in our flesh was able to use it to bring more sin. So what is the remedy? God, here's what it says literally. God, His own Son, sent in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now the Lord did not come in sinful flesh, but He makes it very clear that the Lord came in the likeness of sinful flesh. The Son of God became a son of man, and He took on our human nature, all of it except for sin. And as a man, that is, as the God-man, He was able to offer Himself as a sin offering that He might condemn sin. That is what the Lord did to overcome the weakness of the law. He sent His Son to pay the penalty of sin for His people. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. For what reason? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So then, we are both justified and sanctified, because we have been freed from that law of sin and death, and when we've been put under the law of grace, so that we have the ability to sanctify ourselves. But the basis of it is that God sent His Son for us and for sin to condemn sin. See, He condemned sin on our behalf. Therefore, the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, what Paul is saying is that the law, even though it cannot save us, was still righteous. The law was declared to be good and righteous. And in order for us to be able to fulfill that righteous law, the Lord Jesus Christ had to come and offer Himself as a sin offering. And that allowed Him to pay the debt to sin. And having paid the debt, He condemned sin, so that His people would be freed from it. And therefore, we have the power to live a sanctified life. Now, in Pastor Downing's outline of Romans, he does ask the question, if you look in the back, he asks the question, how does sanctification and justification come together in Romans 8, chapter 1? I mean, Romans 8, verse 1. And it comes together because the basis of our sanctification is that we have fulfilled the law in Jesus Christ. And having fulfilled the law, we are therefore justified in God's sight. But then our Lord, having condemned sin, has also freed us from its power. And that is where it comes into sanctification. Now we're able to live a sanctified life, even though it is not easy. So you see then that the Apostle Paul knows that the battle against sin is a tough battle, but that there is deliverance in Jesus Christ. And since we're justified because of His work, there's no more condemnation, none. And because the Lord has condemned sin, sin has no more power over us, and we are free to live godly in Christ Jesus. So that is our dependence upon the Lord for sanctification. He is the one who has procured our deliverance from the power of sin, and therefore from the power of death. And we have the Spirit of life indwelling in us, that operates in us, giving us life. And that is the new principle that wherein we live. It's the principle of grace and of life. And so sanctification then is us being more and more conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. But of course, the goal is, as Peter says, that we persevere in the faith, that at the end of our lives we might have the end of our salvation or of our sanctification. The goal, what is the goal of sanctification? It is eternal salvation. That is to realize upon death that eternal life that we have now in this life. That is the goal. But we don't know if we're going to reach the end of our journey. That's why Peter says we need to persevere, that at the end, when we die and we face God, we will because we've sought to mortify the deeds of the flesh and of our members, we will realize that salvation that the Lord has procured for us. So then, it is through the Lord Jesus Christ, it is through His work, and it is through the Spirit that He sent into our lives that enables us to be sanctified in the Lord. And that is our dependence. He did the work. We need to be encouraged in that. There's no condemnation. There's no possibility. So we have all encouragement, all incentive. We have the means of grace. We have everything we need to live godly in Christ Jesus, to be sanctified in the Lord, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to live in obedience to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope that this has been an encouraging message. I know we've just barely scratched the surface, but I want us to understand that the Word of God knows that this battle with sin is a very arduous battle. That, you know, the Christian life and sanctification is not easy. But we do have deliverance through Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation for us. There is every reason for us to persevere in the faith. And if we read the rest of chapter 8, we see he'll open up more of the benefits. And he does it in the context of walking under the dominion of the Spirit rather than under the dominion of sin. But that's for another study. Let's pray. Lord, I trust that these simple comments would nevertheless help open up your word to us, that we would understand the argument in Romans 7 through chapter 8 and verse 4. Lord, that everything we need to live godly in Christ Jesus has been provided for us, and in a perfect way. May we look to Jesus Christ each and every day, each and every hour, that we might live under the dominion of the Spirit and not under the dominion of sin. Lord, may we realize that eternal life in our lives each and every day, may you enable us to turn away from sin, to flee from sin, to be abhorred at the idea of sinning against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, be pleased to glorify yourself in our lives and to glorify yourself in our services this day. We do thank you and pray through Jesus Christ. Amen.